praise, Josh. Just give God praise and let's thank God for the testimonies. We heard them all. It's God. Just give him praise. Just give him praise. Father, we thank you for all this testimony you have wrought for us.
Amen.
We return all the glory back to you. No man will share with you. May your name be glorified. For in Jesus' victorious name, we have prayed.
Hallelujah. Shall we stand up while we take a reading of the scriptures together? Key text for today is Matthew chapter 11. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is Jesus talking here. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, we are glad to be in your house once again. We are gathered at the table of your word. We ask that you feed us tonight in the name of Jesus. Oh God, but today, even as we learn at your feet in the name of Jesus. Lord in heaven, bless us through your word. I have no words of my own tonight. I hide myself behind the cross. Holy Spirit, take over, speak to me and speak to your people. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Shall we be seated? We have been looking at the concept of grace for in our Bible studies for some time now, and today we are considering the grace to rest. Can we say it together? Can we say it together? One more time. The grace to rest. A key test is what we just ran through. Now, in chapter 11 of the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 11, verse 28. From that verse 28, he told them, say, come unto me. Here was Jesus calling the people. Say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And I'll give you rest. It is an indication that Jesus has rest to give. Because in life, you can only give what you have. No man can give what he doesn't have. So Jesus declaring here, say, come, and I will give you rest. It was a profound statement. He melted and he has rest to give to those who actually were hearkening to this call. And he asked them to do something in verse 29. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Let's look at John chapter 7, verse 37. It says, take my yoke upon you. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. Here is Jesus again. Told on the very last day of the feast, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, shouted loud and clear, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And if they come en masse, if a mortal being made this kind of, just like you standing in front of Mark and say, if anybody is hungry, come and I will feed you. You can be sure you will cook and be tired that day. The whole of Abraka will finish. And before you know, this generation of phone, all the villages around will be tripping in. But there is somebody there says he's giving free food. But here was Jesus. Say, if you are thirsty, come. Come to me and drink. In other words, he has something to give to them to quench their thirst. That same John chapter 13, verse 15. John chapter 13, verse 15. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. 1 Peter 2, verse 21. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us as an example that you should follow his steps. These were a declaration of Jesus, and he had left us as an example to follow, to ensure that we live the Christian life, we live it out, and not just profess it with our mouth. Therefore, to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us as an example that you should follow his steps. So as disciples of Jesus, we are drawn to follow the footsteps of Christ, yeah. But no matter what we go through as a people, Jesus has rest for his own. Let's take the reading from the Old Testament, Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. Then we'll look at Leviticus thereafter. As it thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old path where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. But he said, we will not walk in it. Here is Jeremiah speaking as he was led by the Holy Spirit. And he told them, thus says the Lord, stand in the way and see, and ask for the old path where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find the rest for your soul. All of these scriptures are pointing towards Jesus, and you will find the rest for your soul. If you find the old path where the good way is, and who is the way? Jesus is the way. Then walk in this way you have found. Then you will find the rest for your souls. But what was their response? But they said, we will not walk in it. And if this is their stand, if this is what they have made up their minds to do, it's by implication, they will likely not find this rest that they ought to find as they walk in the way. But they said, we will not walk in it. So not walking in it is an outright denial of this rest that is found in Jesus. We'll see some of those references in the New Testament as we go on. Let's move on to our introduction. Matthew pointed out that the only way to know God is through Jesus. If we look at, let's go back to verse 27 of our key text, Matthew chapter 11. Let's go back to, we started already from 28. The all things have been delivered to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son. And the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. So it is through him that we can know the Father. This was the way that Jeremiah prophetically declared to the people of old. But it says that we will not walk in it. They denied walking in the way outrightly. In these days of pluralism, when it is politically incorrect to claim any special status for Christianity, it is important to affirm that it is only through Jesus that true knowledge of God, the Father, is to be found. That takes us to the call of Jesus, the clarion call that Jesus made. Jesus summons the aroused and helpless people of his time to come to him. In Matthew chapter 9, Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. The NIV actually used the word that they were a bunch of people who were harassed and helpless. That is the rendering of the New International Versions of the Holy Bible. He asked them to come to him. Now, from our text, we saw there, say, for his burden is easy, and in him they will find the rest. Not exploitation, not condemnation. Of course, if you are familiar with the dealings of the Pharisees of the days of Jesus, the Pharisees had developed a burdensome religious legalism that weighed the people down. Jesus wanted to free them by substituting his light yoke for the heavy one that the Pharisees had actually heaped on them. Like one of the scriptures say, that the people will ask, who will kind of prepare great body for you to carry, and they will not put their finger to it. They will tell you, you must do this, you must do that, you must do this. If you don't do this, this cannot be, this cannot be, and all of that. And yet, they live contrary to what many of them claim to profess. And so it was a kind of religious system, religious legalism that these people had developed. It was bothersome, so to say. And here Jesus stood to call the people and told them that his yoke is light, and that if they come to him, they will find true rest. And that takes us to the other part of our walk. Say, don't fail to enter God's rest. From what we saw in our reading in Jeremiah, we see what the people did there. They just, so they say, and they said, we won't walk in it. So don't fail to enter God's rest. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. Book of Hebrews chapter 4. Let's take it from verse 1. We'll take the reading to this 5. Let's, Isaac, can we go back to verse 1 of 8? Hebrews chapter 4, let's take a reading from verse 1. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. There is the possibility of coming short of this rest that scriptures talk about here. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them. Why? Not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. We heard the gospel, and the writer of Hebrews here is telling us in clear terms that the gospel we had was also preached to them, but it never profited them. It did them no good. And the reason was not far-fetched. It was simply because the gospel they heard were told it was not mixed with faith. In other words, they allowed doubt to get a hold of their hearts, and faith that would make it work was given no place. It was displaced. Therefore, we who have believed do enter that rest. So for as many who believed, for as many who awakened to this call, clarion call of Jesus, come unto me. For as many who come to him, Jesus gives them this rest that we're talking about. As he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Now, quoting from the Old Testament, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. The work of salvation, the work for the redemption of mankind, God planned it out. It was finished. Everything that needed to be done, Jesus did. And at the point of completion, he cried out on the cross, "It is finished." Hebrews 4:4, for he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. Of course, we have the story of creation in Genesis, the first gospel in the Bible. And God rested on the seventh day from all his works. Let's go to verse 5 now. Verse 5. And again, in this place, they shall not enter. And again, in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Why would God have to take this time? It was because of the doubt and unbelief of the people who could not come unto him, believing that indeed in him their souls, their weary souls, can find rest. We sometimes mistakenly equate entering Canaan or the promised land with entering heaven and ignore the promise that we can also place that word is that P. I don't know where he jumped past to enter there. It's THAT. That. The promise that we can also enjoy God's presence and his spiritual blessings here on earth. The crossing of the Red Sea and Jordan River do not represent physical death, but baptism, which symbolizes spiritual death to our old ways of life and resurrection to the new life we enjoy as believers in Christ Jesus. Canaan was a place of God's rest for the Israelites in the sense that it was the goal towards which he was leading them and the place where they could settle down and build homes. These were people, a bunch of people who had been in servitude for so many years, from calculation, see that the Israelites were in Egypt enslaved for over 400 years. But at the appointed time, the Lord led them out of this land of bondage, and he promised to give them a land flowing with milk and honey. He spoke about that land to their father Abraham, which was transferred to Isaac, Jacob, and to the patriarchs. And at the appointed time, the Lord took the lead, brought Moses from where he was. I'm familiar with the stories in Sunday school. And so, off they set for this promised land. Even Joseph, on his dying bed, also spoke about it. And he told them that someday the Lord will visit his people, and then when they will be living, they should take his bones along. Those who finally left Egypt, very many of them got destroyed in the wilderness simply because of doubt and unbelief. Many of them could not get to this land of rest. With the exception of the two adults, Joshua and Caleb, who actually had a mindset of God, and they were able to stir the people up in faith, even when the other spies brought fearful reports, negative reports, that there is no way they can step into the land and not be devoured. But when they saw the people, they looked at themselves as grasshoppers. They were mighty giants. Say, of a truth, the land is good. The land is fertile. The land is wonderful. But the occupant there were not a match for them at all. And Joshua and Caleb said, no. If the Lord delight in us, he can take us there. God has promised us that land. Anyhow, he will do it. We don't have to bug ourselves over it. Let's go ahead. They cried and murmured, and very many of them. And that was what the writer of Hebrew kept referring to. And many of these people could not get into the rest that they were supposed to get into. And so, several of them got destroyed right away. Their children that they were wailing for, say, hey, we will die here, and our children will not even have our graves, and all of that. From 20 upward, all of them were perished in the wilderness, and their little ones were the ones who finally were able to step into the promised land. So that takes us to our next subtopic, biblical explanation of the word rest there. For 6 days, God worked to create the world, but he rested on the seventh day. Similarly, since Jesus finished his work of salvation and brought in the new creation, he has been resting at the right hand of God the Father. We are thus offered another opportunity to enter into the rest of God the Father and God the Son, which we should not squander like the Israelite did. Of course, which we see in our reading in Hebrews 5-16. And again, in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Verse 6. See, therefore, it remains that some must enter it. And those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. Since therefore, it remains that some must enter it. Possibly talking about you and I now. To those whom it was first preached did not enter. Why? Because of disobedience. Now, disobedience can make believers not to enjoy the full rest of God in their lives. And disobedience on the part of unbelievers, those who never believed, those who never hearkened to the call of Jesus to come, for those people, they missed it outrightly. May that not be our portion in Jesus' name. I say, may that not be our portion in Jesus' name. So, rest is something that God desires for his people. Rest is something. And we're talking about the grace to rest. So the grace to rest, Jesus is a giver of grace. This rest we talk about is in him. And is able to make it available to all his children who are worshippers in truth and in spirit. By way of conclusion, the believers are warned that they should not harden their hearts after hearing the message of salvation, of rest in Christ. It is only through Christ that we will continue to enjoy salvation, rest for our souls. Anyone who believes in Christ's finished work of salvation can rest from the efforts to end salvation by keeping God's law. And we concluded by saying it, by vocalizing it again, that the grace to rest is available to all born again Christians. Once again, our topic is the grace to rest. Will you also miss out just like the Israelites did, simply because of unbelief? Or to be part of a people of God who would enjoy this grace to rest? It's our prayers that this rest that scriptures talk about will not elude us in Jesus' name. It's our prayer that we will not miss this rest in Christ Jesus. It's our prayers that the Lord will keep us daily and will enjoy every bit of it. May the Lord bless the study of his word mightily tonight in our heart in Jesus' name. A better amen. A believing amen. A victorious amen. Amen for those who have found rest in Christ. Can we say a better amen? Hallelujah. All right. We'll draw to a close there. Or give our time for questions and for contributions, if there be any, before we take our time to pray. Any question, any contribution? Okay, one hand is up there.